Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Carolyn Clancy, the Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality in the Department of Health and Human Services. And joining us in our conversation is Venetia Lee.
Dr. Clancy, ARC invests millions of dollars in research to really address the issues that we talked about earlier. What types of metrics are you using to measure the success of these investments?
Critical question, because ultimately we don't think that we're successful unless we can demonstrate that the findings from our research have had a positive impact on healthcare and ultimately on people's health. Now, clearly that's a pretty tall order when we give a check to an investigator to start their grant to say, gee, tell me how many people are better off as a result of your work. So looking across the body of work that we fund, early in the phase of research, we're looking to make sure that the grants and other investments that we fund are consistent with our goals and strategies going in. As the research progresses, we're looking to the investigators to tell us how many decision makers and those who are going to use the work have been able to understand it and use it. And ultimately, we hold ourselves accountable for at least making sure that that information gets to decision makers in a way that's usable for them and useful. And what we'd like to see is that healthcare is actually better.
Could you take us through the process of, you know, funding a grant that has to deal with health information technology, and then turning this into a business solution that's adopted by healthcare providers?
Sure. Let me give you one example. We funded a project some years ago that was not specifically about health information technology. It was actually about developing a model to help doctors understand which patients coming into the emergency room with chest pain, which might be cardiac, would benefit from getting thrombolysis or the clot busters. Some patients come in with an EKG that's completely diagnostic and it's clear what to do. Other patients come in with a history which is often more predictive of whether someone's having a heart attack, but the EKG is sort of nonspecific. So based on a few items of information about the patient's history, how long they've had the pain, risk factors, and so forth, as well as the EKG, these investigators developed and tested very thoroughly a model that could predict which patients were more likely to benefit from this therapy. And as a result, two of the leading manufacturers of EKG machines have now incorporated that into their strips. So when your patient is rushed in with chest pain, you get the EKG. And in addition to looking at the strip, there's also the output from this model at the bottom of it. I've often thought it would be a nice sort of example to put on a video. So that's one example of a business solution. In some cases, we've simply supported research evaluating the impact of a solution that was already in place. In other cases, we're providing content from the work that we support, for example, the evidence about how to measure quality or what's the right thing to do for a particular patient to those businesses that are in the business of providing information to electronic medical record systems and so forth. But it's a series of pathways that we're still trying to discover what's the most efficient and effective way to do that.
In the example of the EKG and the strip, how long did that take from sort of start to the adoption by the manufacturers?
There was some serendipity involved. The research itself started in the early 90s, and they had incorporated this into EKG strips by the late 90s. So I'm saying about 7 or 8 years. A little bit hard to put a precise date on the starting time. And there was an awful lot of work that went into making sure that this was valid. I mean, developing a model is a great idea. Making sure that it's the right model and that you're not misclassifying patients and that people are accurately put into the right group, that took a lot more time.
I was going to ask about the management challenges that lead to people adopting it. What are those and how are those worked?
To some extent, this is, I think, a very good example of something that comes up to you at the point of care. So to that extent, one of the usual barriers to adopting evidence into practice is overcome immediately, right? It comes to you. You don't have to go find it. You don't have to think, oh boy, do I have time to go run and find out a piece of information, or where is that guideline or other source of information when I need it? It's right there. So I think to that extent, it's a good model. I can't say that it was entirely strategic. We didn't know when the investigator started all this work that this was going to happen. There was a fair amount of serendipity involved, which I think there always is. What we're trying to do now, again, looking at the challenges facing the healthcare system, is to try both within the agency as well as with the researchers we support, to figure out earlier in the process who's likely to take this up, how can we link these research findings to levers of change, because knowledge of itself is likely to have a very modest impact. This is not about people getting smarter. Every Institute of Medicine report has told us that. This is not about telling healthcare professionals to read faster and pull their socks up, so to speak. This is about creating a system where the right thing to do is the easy thing to do. So we see that as very much within our research domain.
Dr. Clancy, again, going back to ARC's mission, is there interagency collaboration with agencies like Food and Drug Administration, Centers for Disease Control, Veterans Affairs? Can
Absolutely.
You talk to us about that?
Yes. In fact, we collaborate with all of those quite a bit. In this country, we have a very broad, and around the world, a broad array of drugs to choose from for multiple conditions, which is a great position to be in. There's not just one. So, for example, the treatment of high blood pressure has been revolutionized in the past 30 years. It used to be, here are your choices. You could not treat it and have a stroke young, or you could treat it and take incredibly unpleasant medication. This is not a great choice to be offering to people. Now there's a very broad array of drugs, so it's highly likely that when doctors see a patient with high blood pressure, they'll find a good drug that will meet their needs and treat them effectively. Now, when drug manufacturers submit a drug to be approved for the market by the FDA, most of the time the trials that they submit compare that drug to a placebo. Now, the problem, of course, that's great, and the drug gets approved, and that's another option to use. It makes it challenging at times for doctors and patients to choose among multiple alternatives. So we support a variety of research that looks at the safe use of those medications once they're approved and also helps people understand what are the risks and benefits of a particular agent. So it helps them understand how to customize and make the right choice based on their particular circumstances. So that's one example of how we collaborate with the Food and Drug Administration. We were very fortunate and excited about some work we've done with the CDC in Minnesota, working with an organization called Health Partners, which is a community-based, started off as a health maintenance organization. Now, like many of those organizations, has multiple product lines. But we worked very closely with them so that we could bring the clinical sector as well as the public health sector to work together to address the problem of diabetes. And there have been some very important and dramatic improvements as a result of that partnership. So again, our work with the CDC focuses on bringing those who see patients one at a time, working in partnership with those who think about community health strategies, namely the public health sector. So that's another example. The VA has a very interesting challenge because, as you know, they provide care to millions of veterans, and they have a research enterprise which is pretty much focused on meeting the needs and figuring out how their health care system can work better. But their research and evidence tends to be stronger if it's also done in partnership with others testing exactly the same questions in a much broader population, so that when they then turn to their network leaders and so forth and say, this looks like the right strategy to improve quality of care, their network leaders have confidence knowing that it's been tested in a very broad array of populations. This isn't just something we tried in one corner of the VA system, and now you're asking me to roll it out for everyone.
Can you talk a little bit about CMS and your collaborations with CMS, or Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services?
Sure. We work with them very closely on a lot of different projects. One way that we work with them, for example, is when they have to make decisions about should they cover a particular service, they often turn to us for something called a technology assessment. So sometimes internally, and more often we contract it out, what we do is review all the research in a particular topic, and we give them a very comprehensive report that gives what's known about the benefits and potential adverse effects or harms of a particular service or intervention. They then give it to a coverage advisory committee, which makes recommendations. So we're not making the decision for them, but again, we're the science partner for their efforts. We collaborate on some types of research. Very recently, CMS, because they are responsible for assessing and improving the quality of care for people enrolled in the Medicare program, has been working collaboratively with a variety of hospital organizations and others to try to improve the quality of hospital care. So we've been part of that initiative, and one unique contribution we're making is that we're developing for them a measure of patients' perspectives on care in the hospital. Was information provided to you in a timely fashion? And it's a short survey that asks patients lots of questions about their experience of care, because that makes a big difference in terms of making sure that patients are understanding the information that's given to them, you know, that they're pain-free as much as possible, that all the right things are done. So that's another example of where we work together with them.
It's very interesting. What does the future hold in terms of new healthcare technology? We'll ask Dr. Carolyn Clancy of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality when the Business of Government Hour continues.